The sun is starting to come out a little bit with respect to potential interest rate cuts eventually, but certainly, you know, economic and interest rate normalization.
Welcome to Views from the Desk, a special edition of the BMO ETFs podcast. In these timely episodes, we provide the latest investment news and commentary on the markets, the economy, and investing. Brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
As expected, the U.S. Federal Reserve left its key interest rate unchanged for a fifth consecutive time, while maintaining cuts are likely still to come. In today's episode, portfolio managers Winnie Jiang, Chris Heeks, and your host Erica Toth break down the latest announcement. They also discuss the path to rate normalization, alternatives to HISA ETFs, and energy. Before we hear from the team, please consider subscribing to Views from the Desk on your preferred podcast platform. And for many more ETF insights and resources, visit BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 218 of our BMO ETF's weekly Views from the Desk podcast. I'd like to say thanks once again to our listeners for joining us and also for providing us with your questions and comments every week. I'm Erica Toth, Director of ETF Distribution for Eastern Canada at BMO Global Asset Management, and I'll be your host for today. I'm joined by my colleagues Winnie Jiang and Chris Heeks, both portfolio managers at BMO ETFs. So Winnie, let's start things off with you. Since yesterday was Fed Day, maybe you could quickly give us an overview of their meeting, what transpired, and did anything new come out of that? Can you touch on recent U.S. inflation and employment data?
Yeah, absolutely. So going into today's Fed meeting, the market was not expecting them to do anything with the policy rate because, I mean, policy makers have been repeatedly tell us again and again that they weren't going to surprise the market and they were still looking for more data and will remain patient. But any adjustment to the dot plot was one of the things that investors were watching very closely, as it would indicate any changes in the Fed's expectation in regard to interest rate trajectory. So going into the rate announcement, some people were expecting the Fed to raise their projection for inflation, which could affect their views on the rate cuts this year. Since last Fed meeting on January 31st, we got inflation, PPI, and labor market figures that, in general, tracking above expectations and point towards a very resilient U.S. economy. I guess the question now is that, do we think this is a new trend? Now we are stuck with this higher than target and stickier inflation for longer. As for the Fed meeting, the U.S. Central Bank left the overnight policy rate range unchanged at its 23-year high at 5.25 to 5.5% as widely expected. The Fed maintained their outlook for three-quarter point cuts this year, but forecast fewer cuts than before for next year, given recent uptick in inflation. And front-end Treasury gained and long-term Treasury range bound after the 2 p.m. announcement. So overall, I think we're still expecting a longer and bumpier ride towards 2% target inflation. And that means that rate will likely stay where they are, higher for longer. And again, with that said, for the time being, I think it's probably prudent to avoid overweighting at the long end of the curve. Investors could consider parking their cash in some liquid ultra short-term fixed income vehicles like BMO Money Market ETF, tickers ZMMK, until we get more clarities and certainties on the timing of the Fed pivot.
Not all cash equivalents are created equal, and BMO's Money Market and Ultra Short-Term Bond ETFs offer several high-quality options to park client cash. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for tickers ZMMK, ZST, and ZUS.
Chris, let's shift over to you now. equity investors have been eyeing the Fed for signals that interest rate cuts are coming. And this was one of the key drivers actually behind the late Q4 equity market rally. So what does yesterday's announcement after the Fed meeting signal for equity investors?
Yeah, thanks, Erica. Good to be here. So the knee-jerk reaction on the news, equities went higher. They went about 50 beeps higher. And by the end of the day, they're about 70 basis points higher. So it's an interesting dynamic that, as Winnie says, the overall dot plots have played more to a higher for longer. And the Fed, is keeping their 2025. They revised it a little bit higher. So they're expecting 3.9% into 2025. That was up from 3.6. But they did not take rate cuts off the table as well. And I think that's what really equity investors are looking for. And, as Winnie said, the core CPI, it's coming down. It's around 2.8% right now. It's been coming down fairly steadily. Listening to Jerome Powell, he said that the Fed was becoming more confident that inflation is coming back to the 2% target. He also said, yes, the job market is tight, but it's coming back into better balance. And it's not as tight as it was, say, last year. And you can kind of see that. You can see that in the data. There aren't as many applicants per new job opening, there's more applicants. So the job market is coming into better balance, as the Fed says. Now, those are the two key mandates of the Fed, jobs and inflation. And so I think what we're seeing is, despite higher for longer, we are seeing normalization. That is how I would interpret the move of the equities going higher, is that equity investors are, becoming more comfortable that the path to normalization is happening. It's happening right now. Another kind of key driver, and Powell mentioned this as well, the economy's been pretty resilient. And he has a 2.1% GDP forecast for this year, and he's got a 2% GDP forecast for the next 2 years. And, 2% doesn't sound like a lot, but for GDP, that what I hear when I hear 2% GDP is I hear normal markets. Right. And so I think investors, equity investors in particular, are becoming more confident that, we're returning to normalization. The economy is doing fine at 2% growth. The consumer's doing relatively fine. And that paves the way for, equities to do well on the back of it. Looking at, say, the ZSP, our BMO S&P 500 index ETF, it obviously argues to continue to hold equities, particularly as, the sun is starting to come out a little bit with respect to potential interest rate cuts eventually, but certainly, economic and interest rate normalization. And, I always like with an equity to have something in my back pocket that's going to work. So, what happens if it does go, a little bit off? A big thing in ZSP, that investors, can consider is the US dollar exposure. And typically when equities sell off, let's say there's a harder landing than expected, equities sell off, typically that US dollar will gain in value. So that's a built-in hedge. And, as Warren Buffett, I believe it was Warren Buffett, but someone certainly has said the only free lunch in investing is diversification. And that certainly adds to the diversification. So, I think it's boding well for equities as we kind of roll into, the middle part of the year, really, is not too far away. Looking better from an equity perspective, but still, again, having that US dollar protection in an index ETF like a ZSP, I think can serve investors well, should we go a little bit off course. But, again, investors are looking optimistically and, equities have responded as such in the past 5 months. So certainly looking better from that perspective.
Thanks, Chris. High-interest savings account ETFs or HISA ETFs have garnered a lot of assets over the last couple of years. Winnie, over to you. Perhaps you could share your views on HISA ETFs in light of the recent OSFI regulatory review on these ETFs that we had in Canada here earlier this year. And what alternatives should investors be aware of?
Absolutely. Thank you for the questions. So as mentioned before, we think rates will stay higher for longer. And in an environment like this, investor portfolio exposure typically tilts towards more short-term cash-like vehicles like money markets and GICs. And high interest savings account ETFs, what we call them HISA ETFs, have gained a lot of traction in recent years. The reason is very simple. You can earn more than 5% annual return with little to no risk. So for investors, it's like a no-brainer to park money in those ETFs. But that was change. That has changed since January this year due to the OSFI's most recent review on this ETF. But before we dive in, I just want to give you a quick recap on these HISA ETFs. So basically, there are ETFs that deposit cash in a portfolio of high interest savings accounts. So literally bank account that retail clients deposit their cash. And retail deposits are typically and traditionally very sticky, making it the most attractive, desirable, and stable form of capital for banks. And because of that, banks were often willing to pay a premium. And by that, what I mean above the overnight rates or money market yields to win these deposits. So as a result, HISA ETF typically pay out premium yields, which made them very attractive for institutional clients. However, with billions and billions of institutional capital flocking to these ETFs, people began questioning about the potential risk on the overall financial system these ETFs could pose. Because unlike retail capital, institutional capital is far less sticky. It's very easy for an example like an asset manager to move half a billion out of these HISA ETFs. So the OSFI was concerned and wanted to ensure that banks were properly capitalized and were not inflating deposit figures. So in the middle of last year, the OSFI conducted an industry-wide review and came to conclusion that very recently that HISA ETF would no longer be able to hold these cash-like deposits. That means banks can no longer consider assets in these HISA ETFs as deposits, and they can no longer lend out these assets without proper collateral. So these assets are now less valuable to banks. And for investors, that means since January 31st this year, yields on these products would drop by about 50 basis points. And that would be around 4.8 to 4.9% yield, down from 5.3 to 5.4% from before. So since these HISA ETFs are no longer yielding premiums to overnight rates, investors might start looking for a better alternatives. And one of them would be money market ETFs, like the BMO Money Market ETF ticker ZMMK. It provides investors with ultra short-term cash-like exposure and invests in money market securities like T-bills, like commercial papers and bonds with less than 1 year to maturity. The average term of the fund tends to be about a third of the year, like 4 months, and it provides investors with a yield of about 5.1%, giving a premium of about 20 to 30 basis points over the expected lower HISA yields. Another alternative for to HISA ETF for investors who are a little bit more hungrier for yields, who want to, you know, who wants a credit-focused product, would be our BMO Ultra Short-Term Bond ETF, ticker ZST. 100% of ZST is invested in investment-grade Canadian corporate bond funds. ZST yields about 5.24% right now, which provides a pretty good premium and really serving a need for those investors searching for yield. The average duration is about half a year, so you still take very little risk in terms of duration risk and targeting the short end of the curve and capturing a very attractive yield. And on top of that, since like most bonds in the universe are trading at a discount to par, there are significant after-tax benefits for owning ZST versus a HISA ETF. I mean, we're talking about a differential of about 1.2% after-tax return for taxable investors. And now that's a very meaningful in any market.
Thanks, Winnie. I should also mention that we do have US dollar cash management ETF that we launched back in October of 2023. So we have two versions of that, the ZUCM, which is our BMO US dollar cash management ETF, and the ZUCM.U, which is our US dollar version. And we have the ultra short-term bond also available for US investors. So we have ZUS.U, the BMO ultra short-term US bond, and ZUS.V, which is the accumulating units version that reinvests the coupon distributions. So thank you, Winnie.
What's in your vault? Our new physical gold ETFs allow investors to get direct exposure to physical gold bullion without the hassle of buying and storing the precious metal, and at a low cost. To learn more about investing in gold with BMO ETFs, visit BMOETFs.com and search for the tickers ZGLD, ZGLH, and ZGLD.U.
Another area of the market that's off to a good start is crude oil. Chris, with crude oil, WTI is up 18% in US dollar terms so far, and it's sitting around about $83 US per barrel. So energy equities have been following suit. ZEO, the BMO Equal Weight Oil and Gas ETF, is up 11%, and ZWEN, which is our BMO Covered Call Energy ETF, is up 9%. Both of those have been outpacing the TSX index return, which is around about 5% so far year to date. So Chris, I'd like to get your thoughts on how the energy sector is positioned on a go-forward basis. What do you feel are some of the opportunities?
Yeah, thanks, Erica. And another interesting dynamic to start the year. Maybe we'll talk about materials on another call as well, because we're also seeing some productive things happening in the materials sector on the copper side. But we're seeing those cyclical commodity sectors, energy, like you mentioned, and materials, doing very well to start the year. On the energy side, I'm going to credit Scotiabank for some of their research. I'm going to, use some of their bullets that they highlighted recently. But the IEA was out recently. That's the International Energy Agency. And projecting that global oil demand is going to rise this year, while global oil supply is going to fall this year. Why would oil supply fall? Well, in some cases, organizations like OPEC may orchestrate production cuts to kind of increase the price, increase profitability. Certainly that happens. Another thing you've seen in oil, quite frankly, is you've seen underinvestment. And that's been, a continued theme of underinvestment by the companies because, there may be uncertainty around perhaps how ESG friendly oil is. So they've held back on some investment. And what you see is, this demand coming to the market, the supply not being there. And in several of these companies, many of them, they're very cash rich companies because they haven't really overinvested, but they're reaping the benefits of the higher energy prices. So demand higher than supply, always going to be a good thing. Production growth isn't really forecasted. You can't just turn on oil production at a whim. It requires, in some cases, years of investment. So they're not expecting production growth to necessarily pick up anytime soon. In the US, oil inventories have been dropping this year. So we're already tapping more into reserves to meet demand. So in general, it's a very supportive backdrop for energy prices. And, obviously the read through to companies, it's very strong for companies. We've seen a couple Canadian companies, Canadian Natural Resources hit $100 in the last couple of days. And that's a pretty big milestone for that company. Just for reference, it was somewhere closer to $10 in the midst of the pandemic. And of course, we remember the oil price was actually, I think, negative very briefly during the pandemic. So from $10 to $100 is pretty darn good. Suncor's nearing around $50. So these companies are reaping the benefits. And the TSX, like you said, some of those companies are certainly outperforming the broader TSX. So, strategy I like, again, on that theme of having something else extra in the pocket, I'd go with the covered call here, the BMO covered call energy ETF. So the ZWEN, Erica, you mentioned, it holds the largest largest energy companies that are trading in North America. So this includes some Canadian, some US, even some global companies that are trading in New York, you know, such as Shell, just to name one. So it's a global-based exposure. It's the largest cap, you know, they've been around for the longest time. And then with that cover call overlay, you're getting that additional yield. So the yield is very strong on this product. And that helps, you know, if there's energy companies will remember, let's be honest about it. Remember, it's a little bit of a higher volatility exposure, but having that higher income stream, you know, that helps offset some of the volatility. Several, you know, a lot of market participants kind of picking up on oil. You know, the fundamentals look good. You know, perhaps if you've been investing, you know, really heavily overweight the U.S., hey, that's been a great trade. But you won't really find energy in the U.S. too much. And so perhaps you can supplement that with a sector ETF. And I think ZWEN is a well-constructed ETF to get some exposure to, you know, a sector that's performing well with look like improving fundamentals.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. And thank you, Winnie, for sharing some great ideas with us today and chatting with us about some of this week's market events. That's all the time we have for today. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Until next time, take care.
Thank you to Erica Toth, Winnie Jang, and Chris Heeks for joining us on the BMO ETFs podcast. Today, we heard about the BMO Money Market Fund ETF series, ticker ZMMK, which invests in a diversified portfolio of high-quality money market instruments issued by governments across Canada, including treasury bills, bankers' acceptance notes, and commercial paper. The team also discussed cyclical stocks, the BMO covered call energy ETF, ticker ZWEN, or ZWEN, provides exposure to a portfolio of energy and energy-related companies such as Pioneer and Shell, while earning call option premiums. For more information about the other ETFs discussed in this podcast, check out the episode notes, contact your regional BMO ETF specialist, or visit the ETF Center at BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Views from the Desk has been brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The viewpoints expressed by the portfolio managers represent their assessment of the markets at the time of publication. Those views are subject to change without notice at any time without any kind of notice. The information contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice to any party. Investments should be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to any circumstance. Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be a forward-looking statement. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. Commissions, management fees, and expenses, if any, all may be associated with investments in exchange-traded funds. Please read the ETF facts or prospectus before investing. Exchange-traded funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management, Inc. and BMO Investments, Inc. operate.